אורית צדיקביץ' and אלון פוטרמן with כפר עזה טוק.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kfar Aza Talk. This is a wonderful opportunity to bring people together to talk about the people of Kfar Aza. Mm-hmm. Life in Kfar Aza, or life outside of Kfar Aza, because it's going to take another year and a half or so until the community is actually able to go back. This is a very special program that we do for supporters of Kfar Aza, friends of Kfar Aza from all different parts of the world that want to keep Kfar Aza close to heart. They want to know what are people going through, what, you know, they have in mind, where they are actually at geographically, because they can't be home right now. We've been talking a lot about Ruhama and the fact that over 70% of the families have decided to stay together and move to the temporary living location in Ruhama, but not everyone is in Ruhama, which led us to a conclusion last time that Kfar Aza is not just a place, it's also a concept. It's part of your identity regardless of where you are. So thank you for joining us for this special episode of Kfar Aza Talk. I'm here with my co-host, Orit Tadikevich.
Hi.
Hi, Orit. Lovely to have you here. And we have two very special guests with us today. Who are you guys?
Hi. Hi. I'm Eyal.
Eyal.
Should I say my full name? Eyal Joffe. Or Eyal Joffe. Depends on what language you speak. Joffe in English, yes.
And?
Meitar.
Hi, Meitar.
Hi.
Welcome to Kfar Aza Talk.
Thank you.
Tell us about yourselves. Where are you guys coming from? Ruhama?
No.
Where are you guys at?
I'm going to... ladies we're, first.
We're living in Tel Aviv right now.
Yeah.
Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Big city.
I came here by bike, yeah.
You're really a Tel Aviv person already? Came by bike?
Yeah, I live here for already actually 5 years.
Is it very different than the kibbutz?
Yes. So very different.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And yes. Are you adjusting or is it weird?
For me personally, I hated Tel Aviv before. I never thought about moving.
She used to trash about
in here. And always people around me told me how much I need to move to Tel Aviv and I disagree. And now I can't be without it. Like I'm addicted to the city. I feel like if I need to heal from October 7, this is the place for me to do it. The beach, the people, the bar.
Full of distraction.
Right? Yeah. This, you grew up together, right? Because our listeners, they don't see them. Mm. So you might say that, how old are you?
I'm 32. You also, no?
Yeah. No, I'm
not
31.
Yet. Okay.
Please.
Our class is going to be 32 this year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we grew up together.
How many people are in that Kfar Aza group of about to be 32-year-olds?
I think we were 11, but one of our friends
was murdered.
Yeah, on October 7th.
Who's that?
Adar.
Yeah.
We were 11.
It depends. I must say, we always sometimes count those who left the kibbutz long ago. They're still part of the group.
Yeah.
So it's always hard for me to tell them. So I guess we were 11 and now we're 10. Mm. I would still say we're 11. Yes. I mean,
do you have opportunities to come together as a group?
Yeah.
See each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you talk the entire group or like, because we have a strong base of the girls mainly.
Do you have a WhatsApp group that's active?
Not the entire group. We have a WhatsApp group. It used to be active only around Purim once a year. So we talk about what a group costume we wear. It also stopped a few years ago because we kind of grew. Out of it.
Yeah.
People wanted to start wear whatever they want. But I think now we just had two group meetings. However you want to call it, like this year. This year it's really important.
Yeah, I think.
What was it like to see each other after October 7th? To come together?
I think
regardless of where you were in the country.
I think it's brought us together more than before. We had a lot of activities during this year and a half, mainly to bring back Doron, which is a group member, and she was kidnapped on October 7th. So I think we did a lot of things.
And thankfully returned recently.
Yes.
And so we did a lot of things as a group and individuals, but we support each other.
Yeah, I could say that it was obvious from like very early on, like right after October 7th, that we need each other.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure who opened the new WhatsApp group, because it didn't really matter who is actually meeting with who on a daily basis. We needed each other.
Yeah.
So we have a new WhatsApp group. I mean, actually, it's mainly the girls and me, which is called One for the Other.
Yeah.
Wow. Or One for Each Other, whatever.
Yeah.
However you want to translate it.
I remember because
it was important to be together.
Yes, I remember the first protest. On. We have the first protest we have in front of the Kiria. Yeah.
Yes.
And you came with a big, big, big sign that says, "I want to be my... in my wedding, maid of honor."
True. I must say, I think we were the best that, like, we were the first who wanted to go there. We said we were going there, and then it became a big
Faraza
protest.
Okay.
But it was us that said we need to go and shout out that
we can't be silent.
About the first week. It was
the first week. Like it was, time is it, all mixed up for me. You say we met in the first few
over
3 months.
A year and a half ago. Yeah.
It was
which
brutal.
Is insane. Yes, I think it was Doreen who said we need to go shout out with signs and stuff. And then people just joined. Yeah.
Have you had the opportunity to tell her about the demonstrations for her?
To Doreen? Yeah, of course.
She knows that you were there.
I think yes, but I think that she doesn't realize how much the big the protests were and how much we were into it because she wasn't here. But we trying to show her a lot of things on Instagram and videos and newspaper, whatever we can, but we don't want to overwhelm her as well. So,
what was the group discourse, discussion, like when she came back?
Oh my God.
I
was
not
shocked.
Really in the loop, I must say. Yeah. So it was with the girls. I was not here when she came back. I flew for my very late honeymoon. So I was not here. I was not part of the conversations. So Meital should tell.
It was a shock. Like the morning that we knew that she's coming back, we decided to meet as a group and to watch it together. In the meantime, we went shopping and we bought a lot of things that we think that she gonna need right now to make her feel good. And we bought a lot of alcohol and food and we watched it together. It was a very special moment for us to be reunited. I think it's made us to feel like...
Also, you met the entire group together to watch it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And we felt like our pieces came back together, but not fully because we lost Adar. But yeah, it was truly amazing feeling to meet her and to see her and to be in the hospital with her and just be there for her to help her readjust to the life that she's
I
living.
I will not ask if she's the same Doron because she's not here, but I want to talk about you. But are you the same Eitar that was before Doron came back and after Doron came back?
I would say that I'm not the same Eitar before October 7th. Because since October 7th, I'm not happy or I'm mostly like angry and helpless and... trying to do as much as I can. I'm so happy that Doron is here again. And I really did whatever I can to make my voice heard and to make the deals to happen with the hostages. But we still have 59 hostages until they all come back. I think I'm not going to be the same ever again. So it's a difficult question. I'm really happy that she's here, but it's not that, okay, now my fight is over. Mm-hmm. Like I keep going to the rallies, to the shout outs, whatever I can.
It's not the end of the story.
No.
Yeah. I can support what she says from my experience, like from my feeling. I am not the same person I was before October 7th. I also just told you right before we came in the room that I don't even have the patience to do stuff like I did before. And with before Doron came back, I felt like I'm living with like a guillotine above my head. You don't know what's gonna happen, what will happen, when it will happen. Yeah. So it was like I was trying to maintain somehow like back to normal life because I still have to pay rent and go to work. And it's really hard to do the very basic normal routine things. Stuff when you have all this stress above your head. I didn't allow myself to be happy when they said that she's coming back until she was actually back. Mm-hmm. And
you had to see it to believe it.
I needed to see it to believe it.
Because exactly. We had an opportunity that we thought that she's going to come back. And then the day that she was supposed to come back, the deal was canceled. Yes. And they started the war again. So.
It's very emotional to always expect for something to happen and then to be disappointed. Yeah. So I really didn't even allow myself to be happy until I can actually be happy. And then I was just relieved.
I think as friends, we're in a different place than most people. Like, not most people, but from the families, for example, because they have the routine to be just for their fight. And us as friends, we're not family related. We're not have the right to just sit at home and cry and be at and process things. We have to get up and go to work and functions and as human being and go out and meet with friends.
So let me ask you, how do you do that? It's been a year and a half now. Thankfully, Doron is back, but the war's still going on.
Yeah.
Your family's originally from Kfar Aza. Those who are were in Kfar Aza on October 7th or at the time are not able to go back home. Mm. If you wanted to move to Kfar Aza today, you can't, right?
Yeah.
You're living a few lives at the same time.
Yeah.
And you get up in the morning, you function, you go to work, you have friends, you have relationships. How do you do it? What are the anchors in your life that allow you to be who you are, regardless of the challenges that you've just described?
It's very hard to answer. I would say that my anchors, if you're asking about anchors, are my husband and my group of friends.
That are not necessarily from Kfar Aza.
Like, my husband is not from Kfar Aza, but my friends, friends from the kibbutz.
That are from Kfar Aza.
I live in Tel Aviv for already 5 years. So I was not in Kfar Aza when it happened.
Was your family there?
My parents, me and my siblings, we all live in Tel Aviv. But I lived in the kibbutz like two years before. I only moved here to live with my husband. So it was already hard from the beginning because I was very focused on being with the kibbutz and with my friends, like with the community, not with my Tel Aviv life, with my kibbutz life. It was very important to me. But at some point I had to go back to my life, like to my reality, which is in Tel Aviv, with my Tel Aviv friends, with my Tel Aviv job, with my Tel Aviv rent. The only thing, it was very hard because it's like living two lives. I want to be for the kibbutz and for the community, but also have to be for myself and for my husband and for my other friends. I was just not 100% in each one of them.
So how do you function when you're not 100% anywhere?
You can't.
How do you achieve goals? How do you
don't.
Do things you want to do? You just don't.
For me, I feel like my life just kind of
on hold.
Yes, but also like stopped. Like I'm like universe. There's me who's struggling what I'm struggling with and the person that I become, which is impatient, not believing human, like kind, or a lot of things that make me not as happy as I was before. I'm struggling to get up in the morning, to go to my work. I've been, since October 7, it took me 7 months to get up and do something with myself, to get a new job, to move out from the hotel. I moved after a year and 2 months, month or so. So I lived in one room with my dog. I didn't have my personal life as I had before. And it's the small things that matters. Like I've moved to Tel Aviv and now I need to find everything else. Like I'm starting a new life, but not really, because I knew I have to find a new gym, a new nail technique. It's the really small things that I had very for myself back before October 7th. And then they just threw you here and you got to deal with it. So I feel about myself that I'm really struggling, but I'm trying to focus on the goals and purpose. For me now, it's to bring back the hostages and to heal and to help my family heal and to be as much as I can with friends. And we talk about the benefits of Tel Aviv. So I have the tayelet.
The bonenades or portable, yeah.
Near my house. So I do love to just go and walk. But it can be really frustrating because sometimes when you just walk and you see the sunset, you just think about the hostages and the many sunset they didn't get to watch. So it can be very vivid, but very depressing at the same time. I don't know how to explain it.
Meital, were you in Kfar Aza on October 7th?
No, actually, I left after Friday dinner at 12:30. Mainly, I staying at my parents' place, but this time, I don't know why. I had the Bruno Mars concert the day after, and I just, like, 1 o'clock-ish, I just decided to go, and my mom begged me to stay because she didn't want me to drive that late. But I said, no, I gotta go. So my parents were in the house with my brother, my grandmother, and 2 siblings. Yeah. No, 1 sibling, sorry.
There were many terrorists in her house and her brother got shot.
Yeah.
His hand, but his...
The terrorists came to our house and destroyed it and they shot through the door. They tried to open the mama door and...
The safe room.
Yeah, the safe room. And we lost connection with them. It was 30 hours that we just lost our mind because everyone said that they're dead and we didn't know what to expect. Yeah, one person that I talked with said that they basically dead.
Wow.
And
because all their neighborhood.
Yeah,
most of their neighbors were kidnapped, tornado.
All murder, yeah.
And it was really hard to believe someone will get out of this house. Not just them, but same stories like with other people.
Yeah, was your family on the kibbutz that day?
My parents, yes. I was.
What was communication with them like during those hours?
We had communication. I don't know what is it. They were lucky. kind of like, because they didn't lose electricity. They didn't lose
Wi-Fi.
I don't know. They had electricity. They had cell phone service. My brother forced them to send us a text every 15 minutes. It doesn't matter what it is. An emoji, just whatever. Just so we know they're there. So we had communication with them the entire time. So I was able to not worry about them, kind of, and to worry about my other friends who stopped answering at like 9:30 in the morning, 10:30, whatever. Like I knew my parents were okay, and they kept updating us if they know someone is at their neighbor's house, because there were also there were shootings and like I don't know fights between the soldiers and Hamas soldiers in the neighborhood. They live in the Shchona Kilatit. I don't know how you say it in English. No, and no one got into their house. They never had to fight for the safe room door. I mean, unless there are things they didn't tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know now they did go out of the room to get food, to go to the toilet. They did not tell us at that time, so we will not be worried. Yes, so, and I think they got out on the second group that was rescued around like 1, 2 a.m. Mm.
Yes. And how are your families doing now? A year and a half into the war, after October 7th, when you look at your parents, when you look at your siblings, where do you think they're at? What reflects what they're going through?
I think my brother who got shot is the most that need to heal right now, mentally and physically. So he's going through a lot of treatments, and he
like
might...
physical therapy?
Yeah. And he might need another surgery. I don't know. And my parents are traumatized, but they're taking care of each other. And we all in the... as a family, we all very committed to the fight to bring the hostages back, mainly Gali and Zivi, of course. But yeah, I think we all get in our psychotherapy, and we just need to, everyone is find the little things in life that make them feel better. Mm. And I think Tel Aviv do good to my parents as well. So at least that, I'm happy to have them nearby and to see them trying to get themselves back.
Thank you. And Eyal, how about you?
My family. It's hard to say, because I think for me, it's a bit hard to say, because the way I see it, we all as a family felt lucky that we're all still a whole family. And we're just busy meeting together quite a lot. Like, my parents live in Herzliya now, which is like only 20 minutes drive away. And they are both in a pension.
Retired.
I mean, they're still super busy. It's hard to say, because I don't know really about my parents. They are obviously better, but they live in a city, which is not something they did before. They live in a building where they don't know their neighbors, and they miss having neighbors that they know, miss having...
Did they consider going to Ruhama, or do they need a break?
No, they know they're not going to go to Ruhama, because they did... no, because it was a little bit too much for them.
Understandable.
We were not always really deep inside the community of the kibbutz. We moved to the kibbutz in 2003, when I was 10. Mm-hmm. They both always worked outside. We also lived in the Shchona Kilatit, which is on the side. So I think like it was too intense for them, thinking moving like with everyone to a smaller house. And to feel like pioneers, yeah. Kind of like they're both Olim Chadashim. How do you say it?
New immigrants.
Yeah. Yes. I'm a first generation in Israel.
Where they moved to Israel from?
My mom from Argentina, my dad from the UK, from London. So like to move to a small house with nothing around was too much, like being a kibbutz pioneers all over again. And they are retired, so yeah. It's not for them. And they're in Herzliya, they're close to us. They have a new first grandchild now. So like if you ask about my brother, he's busy, moved to a new house, he has his first son, but also his best friends, all of them lost their siblings. One of them is the brother of Gali and Zivi, who are still hostages. So I know it's really hard for him. It's really specifically hard for him, knowing that he's almost the only one from his class who didn't lose anyone or have someone in captivity. So I know that he has guilt.
We call survivor's guilt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And because they are a small group, and all of them, like even Sheket Kdoshim has her father, which is, what was the year
he passed?
Yeah, so his entire class, his entire group of friends from the kibbutz is going through that, and he's the only one who's not.
So complicated.
It's a complicated thing, absolutely. Yeah.
And tell me something, when thinking about your family, but also your friends, the friends that you mentioned at the beginning, and talking about the future of this community and the future of Kfar Aza. What do you think has to happen with Kfar Aza, with the people of Kfar Aza, so people even consider to be part of it again? What has to happen? I'm not saying, you know, who's going to move back and who's not.
Yeah.
It's too early to ask that. But what has to happen in the meantime?
Well,
I think it's a very hard question, but I feel like we need to... Okay, so I think, I feel like the community is like a little bit falling apart because sometimes when you don't live in Ruhama, you feel outside. And it's very difficult for the people to lose not their just home, but the feel of to be in a part from for a pure part of a community. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And there's a lot of activities and things that the management doing for to bring the community together, and it's important and we need to continue that.
One of them, by the way, is the women retreat that we did months ago.
Yeah, now we have
the men.
There's another one coming.
There's another one. You're going to register? Please do.
I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going. My dad is going. My husband is going.
The men's retreat and the women's retreat.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a good example because I think it's important to stay together, stay friends. Remember that we are all going through a lot.
A lot, and be more patient to each other because everyone is so on the edge all the time.
Yes.
And
definitely
to be more compassionate to each other and patient and loving. And
and it's not always easy because everyone wants the other person to think about him.
Yeah.
Or them. And as we said, both of us, we lost a lot of our capacity and of having patience, like in general, much more on edge and stressed and angry.
On our toes all the time.
It's hard to do in many things. If it's to be kind to one another, to get a job. So if you talk about what does the community needs to do until then, or for aspiring to go back, and to stay friends,
maybe to have opportunities to be
stay
together.
Friends, to remember we love each other even when we fight, even when we're not nice to each other.
But Farah is a strong community, and I believe
it's a strong
that
community
we're gonna,
of strong people.
we're gonna make it through it. I believe that in the end, we're gonna stay community no matter what. Like even the people who's not coming back to Kfar Aza, I think it's more like it's not physically the place as is the feeling that you're part of something. And this is the benefits of a kibbutz. It gives you this feeling of you're part of something, of a community that you have people to lean on and to help to when they need and when you need. And this is why I see this community keep growing and build itself again stronger and better.
I wish after Gali and Ziv will be back, we're going to have a very big Purim party.
Yes. Sure.
And you're going to come to the contest because every year there is a very big contest of the customs, and each class comes with its own customs.
Okay.
And this is Kutzat Arduf. And they never won the first prize.
You never won the first prize?
No, and we had a custom about it.
What's with your group? Come on, guys. What's with your group?
No, they had good costumes.
We had even a costume that says Arduf never win. We had it.
Yes, it was a collection of all the costumes that did not win.
And we did
all these hard feelings. Where are you? Come on.
I have to be in the judgment team. So I will vote for you.
You always put on the Purim production in Kfar Aza. So.
For the younger people, but not for us.
I wanted
to add to what you asked and to what Mital said. I think because it's not about if and when and who will move back to the kibbutz, or where the kibbutz will move on together. It's a fact that there are a lot of families that had to think about their kids and put them in education systems, and they might not go back. And if the community will find ways to do things that will make those people come back, even just for an event, something that to that will make them still feel belong, although they're not part of the community in that way, like they don't live together anymore. I don't have the answer to what it is exactly, but if they will find some concept of events that are not the Memorial Day, something more positive, something more,
about I think the retreat. Kite Festival was like that.
The what?
The Kite Festival.
Yeah, Sifoniada. It was like that. People all around. Like,
and the Megillah, please.
Yes, of course. But
but something bigger and positive that will...
We had a lot of people...
make people come back just for this day.
But
to remember.
For example, on October 7, we had the... We should have the Festival Kites. And people, a lot of guests came back to the kibbutz just for... come to the kibbutz just to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Families and former members of the kibbutz. And I think that's one thing that do it, bring the community together as is. And it's a really good idea. You
believe it will happen again?
Maybe they will come up with even a new concept. I don't know.
I think it's very, like, depend on the results of this war also. Because
what, the Kite Festival?
Yes.
I mean, first of all, the manager was Viv Putz manager, of course. I think
But it will continue. I think it will have to continue.
Yes.
It's not going to be, I don't know if it's going to be the same purpose, but for his memory, the Kutz family memories, I think we should do it. And we did it last year here in Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not about the place, but where. The idea of it and in Tel Aviv was very emotional to be in it.
We made a kite for every
hostages that was
it's hard to say like now what will happen because although it's a year and a half, it's absolutely fresh. It's like yesterday, it's like last week. Time is completely all meshed together. This story is not over. Everyone is still processing things, and actually, as long as we still, as the war is going, and there are still hostages there, and Gali and Zivi are not back, it's as everyone says, it's already sounds like it's a cliche to say, but we cannot start processing and putting it behind us because it's not behind us. Mm-hmm. Once it will be behind us,
that's a different story.
We can start doing other things. Then we can start. Doing, I don't know, the Kite Festival in a positive way in the memory of now everything is still, we're still in it.
The community is not.
It's strange to do things in, I guess they will do, but for me, it's hard to think about an event in the memory of, like we remember something that happened before when we're still not over with this. Like it's still mixed together with something that is ongoing. I think everyone is really waiting for it to be over.
For Gali and Zivi to come back home, that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
We can't be fully functioning community without them. And we're waiting for them and praying for them and all the 59 hostages in general and Gali and Zivi in particular.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Wait, I think we're up to the lightning round.
Oh, yeah.
You ready for the lightning
round? Oh, what? Wow.
There's a lightning round.
I have a quiz.
No. Oh, my God.
There you go.
It's just there.
I'm going to be asked questions.
Yes.
Quickly. You're going to have to answer quickly. Okay, at the same time.
Okay.
Ah, together?
Together.
You can see if we have the same answer?
No, not necessarily. Just, I mean, it could be any answer.
Just what you have to say would be.
Oh. That happened to us. We had people who had the same answers.
Okay.
That was interesting.
Okay.
They grew up together. They have do everything together. True. So it probably.
Let's help.
Okay, let's try. What is the first word that comes to your mind when I say Kfar Aza?
Community.
For me, it's like a country club. Green, like green of the grass.
Yeah.
But a country club, I always say Kfar Aza is so beautiful and nice, like a country club.
Wow.
Nice.
And what is come to your mind when I'm saying October 7?
Hell.
One word.
Hell.
blackness, like really dark.
If I will not live in Kfar Aza, I will live in
other country.
Really?
Wow. Well, for me, it's already Tel Aviv, but I don't know what is my forever place yet. So,
fair enough.
If one of the listeners are in the US wanna host me, I'm open. Do
they're saying to themselves, if you want to host us in Kfar Aza, you know, you're working on a place that
just kidding.
We rebuild one day.
Okay. So next week you have opportunity to drink coffee with Donald Trump. What are you going to say to him?
Oh. Bring the hostages back.
Yeah, keep going with this subject at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you have a chance to drink coffee with some famous person, live or dead, or whatever in the whole world, who will it be?
Oh, Harry Styles.
Yeah.
I'm a groupie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he going to ask you questions or are you going to ask him questions?
I don't think a question is going to be involved.
I got it. Okay. No comments.
No, I don't have an answer. I have no answer.
Can we strike that from the record?
Alan, who would you drink coffee with?
I get my grandfather to come back.
No, but it's famous.
We said also someone who is dead.
They said dead or alive.
Famous.
Dead or alive, Queen Elizabeth, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Princess Diana, taking advice for her style. Yeah, for sure.
Her hats. this is a hard one, but when there is the Tikva, the national
anthem.
In ceremonies, what do you do?
I don't sing.
I never sang, actually.
And even before that, you
before,
never?
Before, I never sang. Well, it's very myself and I, but because I grew up, I'm first generation in Israel. I actually never felt Israeli until I was 20.
Wow.
I started to love my country when I was 20.
Yeah.
But I grew up like with a grandfather in London, sending us Christmas gifts on Christmas. I loved being a kibbutznik, but I waited to be 18 and get out. And so I never understood the concept of patriotism and nationalism. Like, and the Tikva always felt so dark. It is dark. Maybe actually now because of October 7th, I understand the words much more. But it always felt like a very dark anthem and not
for me. It's
for me, it doesn't feel positive. Like, not, it's not, doesn't make me feel stronger. Because it talks about let's just never let it happen again, whatever that is. No,
for me,
make me feel good.
It's the complete opposite because I was all about the country and very Zionist and like pro-Israeli, and now I just can't. Like how can I sing it to be free in our country?
Yeah, it's really hard.
We don't have completely freedom, and we have hostages in captivity. So no. I don't sing anything on October 7th.
Do you hum or do you just walk away?
No, I stay quiet. If I get the chance to walk away, I walk away. Because now I don't feel like the connection to the country, to our symbols, everything that I feel betrayed. This is why I find it hard for me to sing it. But I'm trying to rebuild my faith and love to this country because I grew up here and I did love it so much. Hopefully one day I can feel the same.
Okay, last question.
It's a good question.
When I'm going to Kfar Aza, now we are going to Kfar Aza, what is the first thing that you do? Where do you go? What do you do?
You mean now?
Now, you have
right
you
now?
Happen to go to Kfar Aza from time to time?
Yeah.
I must admit that I didn't go for over 6 months. I don't even remember when was the last time. And it's hard for me because I love the kibbutz. I used to go every 2 months.
When you went 6 months ago, what did you go for?
Home. First of all, home. I'm now, I call it my parents' home, but it's home for me. It doesn't matter.
You go to your room or you go to
No, it's not. Actually, the balcony. The balcony is my favorite place. Well, yes, the backyard.
Yeah.
Just to be home, just to hear this, the quietness, the birds, the nature, the wind in the trees. That's the kibbutz for me. To go to this green piece of grass that's mm-hmm. right behind you, I think that's one of the most beautiful places in the kibbutz. But home to the backyard. I clean the backyard when I go there. Even it's nonsense for 2 hours when I'm there and then I'm gone. But home, yeah.
I'm going home and visit the young neighborhood that I lived there for many long time and just process and watch again and try to understand what they did to us, to did those young, beautiful people in this neighborhood, and just lighting candles and praying for the hostages to come back. So I do both things, but yeah.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and I'm happy that Olit and I, that are part of the Kfar Aza Foundation, have prioritized building a new young adult neighborhood so all those who are looking for that home have the possibility of thinking about it one day.
Yeah, I must say it's tempting to take one of those.
it's
exactly where I lived before I moved to Tel Aviv.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now the community is prioritizing building a new young adult neighborhood, not instead of the existing one that's still under discussion. Mm. But there's going to hopefully be a possibility to build 60 units.
Wow.
And allow young adults who want to move back at some point to do that. We're actively fundraising for that, and then hopefully we're going to move forwards with it.
And we want it to be attractive, so we're going to have a music
room.
We're going to have a new gym, new playground if you have kids in the future.
As I said, a country club.
Very happy place.
I wanted to say, I don't know how much time we have, but I wanted to say, following your question, where would you go? For me, it's home. I mean, I moved out of Tel Aviv, of the kibbutz, for my own reasons, but I never wanted to leave the kibbutz out of my life. So I used to come at least once in 2 months to stay for the weekend, stay at home, be with my parents, go visit my friends. Yes, so one of the things that makes me angry the most with everything going on is that I don't have the kibbutz as part of my life. And for me, knowing that I didn't go there for over, I really don't know when was the last time, but more than 6 months, it's really hard for me. I'm stuck in Tel Aviv. I really have nowhere to escape to. I mean, I can visit my friends in Ruhama or Shfaim. It's not the same. It's a kibbutz. It's nice. It's my friends. But it's the same feeling.
You'll always
but I
have
wanna
Italy.
Go. Yeah. Just got stuck in Italy. But I want to go home. I want to be able to go for the weekend, spend the time there. And now I don't have it, which is hard.
Thank you for sharing that. We're going to wrap up this very special episode, and I want to thank both of you for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Olit, for being with me.
Thank you, Alon.
Co-hosting this show. It's a wonderful opportunity to remind all that are listening that Kfar Aza still has a journey to go through before they can actually go home. I mean, October 7th is not something that happened in the past. It's still happening in the present. We still have 2 hostages from the community out of 59 in total. And that's very unfortunate. We need them to come home. So if you're listening to this episode, and we encourage you to look for the local demonstration in the neighborhood that you're living in or the city that you're living in, go join, raise awareness, make sure that no one forgets that everybody needs to get home as quickly as possible. For those of you who are supporting Kfar Aza, thank you for doing that. Yeah.
Thank you
for looking out for the Kfar Aza Foundation in order to support education, welfare, mental health programs, community programs. It's really important, and we appreciate every donation and every involvement of any kind. Toda from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.